Last week, the world moved a bit closer to a nuclear apocalypse, at least according to the bulletin of the Atomic Scientists Science and Security Board. The members reset the doomsday clock to 11:58, putting us closer to midnight and destruction. The clock was introduced in 1947, and its first chairs were Albert Einstein and Robert Oppenheimer. Lawrence Krauss, director of the Origins Project at ASU, is chairman of the board of sponsors of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. He's with me via Skype to talk about the clock moving closer to midnight. So, Lawrence, the simple question is why? Why are we moving closer to nuclear disaster?
The factors are many. First of all, when it comes to, we now look at major existential threats. That's all the existential threats that are based on human technology. Obviously, the first is nuclear weapons and nuclear war. There, the situation is quite grave. Not only are nuclear tensions increasing, North Korea obviously has now the capability potentially in the near future to launch nuclear weapons on missiles, but the interaction, of course, between the U.S. government is quite erratic. With it, there doesn't seem to be any major diplomatic leadership to try and address that situation. The current administration is talking about potentially getting rid of the Iran nuclear weapons treaty, which experts argue is in fact one of the best things that's happened in diplomacy to hold back the proliferation of nuclear weapons. At the same time, the United States and Russia aren't, for the first time ever, really are not engaged in any major nuclear arms talks to try and follow up on the START treaty or reduce the number of nuclear weapons. We still have over 10,000 nuclear weapons between the two sides, and the United States signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty and ratified it a long time ago, which as did many other countries. And what we hear is talk about, well, stopping other countries from getting nuclear weapons. But one of the requirements of the Non-Proliferation Treaty is that nuclear weapon states also attempt to disarm. We're really not doing that.
Now, I'm understating this, of course, but how uncomfortable, this is where I'm understating, because uncomfortable doesn't do justice to this, but how uncomfortable is it that an administration is playing with fire by sort of harassing, or however it may be, directly with North Korea, almost as if, well, you know, my nuclear weapon is bigger than yours. How troubling is that?
Which he says.
Right, exactly. So isn't that, I mean, how much scarier does that make the approach than negotiating from a position of saying, okay, let's work this out in a way that actually can bring us further back from the brink?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. When last year at this time, we actually moved the clock 30 seconds closer to midnight in response to sort of awful rhetoric that had come from then candidate and recently inaugurated President Trump. We only moved to 30 seconds because we said, well, there's a lot of talk been going on during the campaign and he hasn't had a chance to yet govern. But it's of great concern that this loose discussion about nuclear weapons, about using nuclear weapons, about just childish talk was of great concern. And we said, well, actions speak louder than words, but when words are said by the incoming president of the United States, they mean something. Well, in the intervening year, that loose talk has continued. Not only that, but not only has the president made statements that are terrifying and silly and childish, but also if you look at what is needed, of course, is to support the head of government is a diplomatic corps that is expert in the important issues, the tensions, local tensions, understands world leaders and can try and moderate disputes diplomatically. Well, if you look at the State Department, that's really been gutted. We don't have those people anymore. So there isn't a large group that can help effectively moderate the president's rhetoric. And so it is a great concern.
What sort of factors would move us further back, would move us 30 seconds away from midnight or a minute away from midnight? What things are you looking for?
Well, we talk about that. It's really important to realize that this isn't just a doom and gloom scare tech. We talk about exactly the kind of things that will be necessary to move it back. And we've moved the clock back and forward in the 10 or 12 years I've been chair of the board. So it doesn't always go in one direction. First of all, stop that rhetoric. Secondly, begin to negotiate with Russia on arms control agreements. Third, don't embark on a vast new nuclear weapons infrastructure. Fourth, largely begin to create institutional frameworks that can moderate not just nuclear weapons disputes, but other disputes, an international framework to deal with cyber terrorism and to explore implications of autonomous weapons. At the same time, what we're really saying, probably what is necessary, and we really made an appeal to the people of the world. Governments aren't leading when it comes to nuclear weapons or in the United States case, climate change. What's required is a public outcry. The public has to ask and demand their leaders help make the world safer and more secure. And so part of the clock effort is to try and begin to get public discussion on this so that it can lead to action. It's happened before.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about these bizarre sort of false alarms that we saw in Japan and Hawaii. And can we look at those as just foolish occurrences, or are those things that make you even more nervous when it comes to the doomsday clock? Is that the sort of thing that some sort of ridiculous mistake could cause a major problem?
Of course it can. And that's the problem with people are rather complacent, I think, young people especially, because young people, of course, have grown up in a world that hasn't seen nuclear weapons explosions when they were kids, they didn't have to do these ridiculous exercises of going under their desks in the case of a nuclear attack. And people have become complacent. But in fact, there's a great book by Eric Schlosser called Command and Control. But these near misses have happened a lot over the last 75 years since the first nuclear weapons explosion. And people should not feel complacent. Yes, there was this false alarm in Hawaii, and aren't we lucky that the false alarm didn't go all the way to the White House? But those false alarms have occurred many, many times. The world is not safer with more nuclear weapons or with nuclear weapons on hair trigger alert. We are safer with fewer nuclear weapons. The more we have, the more likely there are to be accidents. False alerts, especially when you worry about cyber terrorism, you worry about fake news on the internet. What you don't want is people sending a fake alarm that nuclear weapons have been launched.
Lawrence Krauss, director of the Origins Project at ASU, is chairman of the board of sponsors of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. We've been talking about the Doomsday Clock.